when you're a kid, you think the universe revolves around you. You think that you'll always be protected and cared for. Then, one day, you realize that's not true. Because when you're alone as a kid, the monsters see you as weaker. You don't even know they're getting closer. Until it's too late.
Here. Take it.
My grandfather thinks this town is cursed. That all the bad things that happen in this town are because of one thing. An evil thing.
Hey Nicholas, how are you?
Hey Darren, how you doing? Good, good.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us today. First of all, I love the film. I'm not usually a horror fan, but I remember seeing the original back in the day and I thought, oh, I'm going to go see it and see how it goes. I did close my eyes a couple of times, obviously.
But no,
it's a really cool film. It's really well done and I hope it goes really well so we get to see part two. So just jumping straight into it, are you a fan of the horror genre?
To be honest, no. I mean, I'm often forced to watch horror films by my aunts and cousins, and I had an ex who was just in love with horror films, and she'd make me watch them too. It's just, I don't understand the appeal of these modern-day horror films that just like that, just scary non-stop, and it's just constant and it's terrifying. It's just, I don't see the human appeal to that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But yeah, I think with it's definitely different, you know. It's especially with the movie that I hope we've created, is you're watching this movie about these kids who are having fun in the summer and making jokes at the other's expense and having a bit of a romance every now and then. It's like you don't think you're watching a horror film until either Pennywise jumps out and scares the living daylights out of you, or my character Henry starts terrorizing the kids. You don't realize you're in a horror slash, you know, thriller until those moments come out, which is, I think, it's really unique for a horror film of this day and age. It's very cool. I think it's amazing that they'd be able to achieve such a film.
Yeah, and I agree with you with that. Like, I can't, the constant scares, I can't really do films like that.
Right.
Demon possession and that sort of thing, never been a fan.
Right, of course.
But yeah, with this one, it was great though, because they sort of had a balance of comedy, because some of the one-liners from the boys were, we laughed out loud. There's only two of us watching it, and we had plenty of laugh out loud moments in between hiding behind our hands, so it was great. So speaking of your character, Henry, what was the process like for you to land this role?
The process, it was quite unique compared to all the other roles I've been able to get. I was visiting my brother in UK when he was living over there, middle of last year, and we'd just flown into England, into London, and we were staying at this little shabby motel. I think we checked in at 2 a.m. or something, and we were jet lagged and cranky. All he wanted to do was go to sleep. I think at 4 a.m. I woke up to an email from our manager saying, "This is urgent. We need you to put down an audition for the new It movie." And, you know, having had maybe an hour and a half to an hour of sleep after like a 13-hour flight, it's no fun. And then having to do an audition on top of that, if it was any other role, I think it would have been just a train wreck. But we put down this amazing setup in a little hotel room. We had a desk in the corner of the room, then a suitcase, and another suitcase, and my phone on top of that, that was standing up and facing me. So it was incredibly precarious. But then it was just this one scene where it's arguably one of the most intense scenes for Henry, where he's terrorizing one of the kids, and he's really yelling, he's really getting into it, and for some reason, being that jet-lagged and that angry and that agitated and that cranky, it really helps with me getting into that mindset. And it was just that audition. I put that one down. I went back to sleep. I didn't think of it anymore. I was just like, this is ridiculous. I'm tired. But then a month later, I got back home and my manager called me up and said, you got the part. So yeah, it was really unorthodox method of getting the role, but it was it helped to be that in that mindset.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of your preparation to play Henry, what sort of preparation did you do? Did you go back and look at the original series, or did you do plenty of reading, or how did you go about it?
I tried to read as much of the book as I could before the film started, because I got the role, I think, around June, and I had to fly out, the week after. So, and then there was some rehearsals and stuff we had to do. So there wasn't much time for me to read the book, but I tried to get as much done as I could, at least sort of get the essence of Henry Bowers as a character. But I also had a chat with Jared Blanchard, who played Henry Bowers in the original miniseries, just sort of get his take on the character and how he played Henry Bowers and how he acted with the rest of the kids on set, just to sort of get that background to it before I added my own aspect into it, which that definitely helped a lot with sort of perfecting the character, you know, for the movie.
So what was it like on set? Did you get to spend much time together with the other cast? Was there like bonding and that sort of thing? When there's like, I know one of the Stranger Thing kids is in the film as well, but they also spent a fair bit of time bonding and getting to know each other before shooting. Did you have that sort of aspect as well?
Definitely. I mean, the first time I met all the kids and all of the and my Bowers gang was at the table read before all of the rehearsals started and the blocking started. And that was my first impression of them, and they were all just so out there, especially the Losers Club. They were out there and just had so much expression, and they were all friends already. They'd only met like 10 minutes before. Some of them met in sort of previous projects, but most of them had only met sort of at the start of the meeting. It's amazing that they had this, you could feel this connection that they had, even though that connection wasn't real whatsoever. And that only increased once filming began and pre-production was sort of going through. They became closer and closer friends. And by the time filming started, they were like the Losers Gang already, Losers Club. But I definitely had that aspect of it too. Like when you're in such close vicinity to each other, like all of the kids were living in Toronto when we were filming. From the hotels were a couple of blocks away from each other, so it's hard to avoid each other if we wanted to.
Yeah.
We pretty much saw each other every day, and you know those kids and the Bowers Gang, that they're going to be lifelong mates of mine. That's what I've made throughout this film, which is amazing to be such close friends with these kids that you had to sort of terrorize and sort of beat to death throughout filming. And I think that's what also helped too, like being so close with the kids. I got to do those scenes like with Jeremy, who plays Ben, and Chosen, who plays Mike. I had to do those really intense sort of invasive scenes, which sort of afterwards, I think in a lot of other productions, it would be hard to debrief and become, you know, go back to my normal self. But after takes on this movie, like it was almost instant, because these kids were just so, they had so much expression and emotion to them. Like they'd be crying in a scene because I'd make them.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, Andy would yell cut, and, you know, they'd be laughing and giving high fives and secret handshakes and stuff. You know, it's amazing that that they could do that, and that just shows what talent they have.
Well, I just read an interview with Stephen King that he did for Variety, and he said that he saw the film and it's fabulous. So I suppose that's going to make you feel pretty good that the guy who wrote the source material really loves the film.
Oh yeah, no doubt. That's that was that thing we saw on Twitter. There was one sort of blog, I think it was, from his assistant maybe.
Yeah.
Who put on the Stephen King site, official site, said that he loved the film. We didn't really know if that was official or not, so we didn't get our hopes up. But then he tweeted from his personal account saying that he really did love it, and that was just, it was such a moment for us. It was this thing that we're trying to achieve for the past only 3 months for us, but God knows the amount of time for the crew and Andy and Barbara and the rest of the producers. They were trying to bring this book and bring it to life in on the big screen, and it's tough to do, to especially with such a prolific novel such as it, or any of Stephen King's work. You know, it's the amount of pressure that these guys had to make this movie good is immense. It's crazy how much pressure they had, and somehow, you know, with Stephen's approval, we seem to have done that, which is amazing.
Now, what was it like when you first saw Bill in full Pennywise get up? What was that experience like?
I was actually on set that day, not to film, but just to do schooling. And I'd finished my school, and I just sort of felt like chilling. So I was chilling in the prosthetics trailer. This was nearing the end of production. And in walks Bill into the trailer. And that was pretty much, I think that was like one of the first times we'd met, you know, we had a good chat about, you know, the film and life and all that. And then he sat down in the chair and they started making him up. And it's weird, after this 2-hour period, I looked at the guy and I didn't want to tell him the things that I told the exact same guy 2 hours ago, which is, you know, it's a major props to the prosthetics guys and Bill himself and the costume people to be able to achieve something, you know, such as that, of me being able to, you know, of him walking in, this, you know, 6'1", attractive, I mean, let's be honest, very hot guy, Swedish fella, walking into this prosthetics trailer, and he's so nice and innocent and kind, and then you see him 2 hours later in this 6'5", menacing, maniacal, evil, demonic character that you would never want to be in a room alone with.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they did that. And when he started talking, too, that just added a whole other layer onto it. It's just...
He was fantastic as Pennywise. I couldn't fault his performance at all. Creepy and as hell, fantastic. And that's exactly what you want in this film. So I appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with me today. I hope the film opens up to huge numbers and we get to see part two. And good luck with all your other work that you've got. You've got Dark Tower out in a week or so. So good luck with that and everything else going on.
All right. Thanks, man.
No worries. Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you.
Bill, if you'll come with me, you'll float too.
George. I saw something.
A clown. Yeah, I saw him too.
What happens when another Georgie goes missing? Or one of us? Are you just gonna pretend it isn't happening like everyone else in this town? If we stick together, we'll win.